Well, I certainly want to ask for your prayers today. If you would like to read along with me in the scripture lesson this morning, I'll ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And I want to beg your patience this morning because when the Lord placed this thought upon my heart and I began to study and to try to put my thoughts together, I just couldn't seem to get away from anything other than just reading this entire chapter. And so I'm going to have a lengthy reading this morning, but I just felt like I had to read all these verses. So 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. We're going to be reading about a man named Josiah. And it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings and to floor the house which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam of the sons of the Kohathites to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. And they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king's, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hashra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. And I appreciate your forbearance and your patience while I read that many verses here this morning. I want to speak today about those who do what is right. And there are, I believe, some great and practical lessons for us today that are to be found in this 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles concerning the life of Josiah. Josiah, in my estimation, in the days of the Old Testament times, during the days that Israel was ruled by a king, in my opinion, I believe that you would be hard-pressed to find any king that did a better job than what Josiah did when he was king. And there's something that's said about him in the very opening verses of this chapter, and that is that he did what was right. Not only, not was he doing what was right in the eyes of men, but he was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's the mark that we need to always press for. That not only to do what we may believe is right, but to do what God says is right. And that's exactly what Josiah did. And he did it to the extent that the Bible says that he didn't turn away from that to the left hand, neither to the right hand. I mean, he walked, you've heard the term walking the straight and narrow. Well, that's what Josiah did. He walked the way that God would expect all of us to walk, and he didn't turn away from it either way. Was he perfect? No. No, but I do believe that he was blameless before the people in the way that he lived his life before the Lord. There's something else that I want to point out in this before I go any further, and that is that any family, any church, any school, any type of establishment, any workplace, any nation is blessed, always blessed, by having somebody among them, even if it's one person. Any group of people, however that they are organized, is blessed by having someone among them that is willing to do what is right. Willing to stand up for the Lord and to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And I hope to be able today to give you some examples of other people that I believe also strive to do that Josiah did. Now, there's something else that I want to also point out in this chapter here concerning Josiah. And I want you to keep this in mind. I want to try to dwell on this just a little bit further. But in order for Josiah to do what was right, in order for him to do the things that he did, because you see, he took away the idolatry out of the land during the time that he was king. And we find in the end of the chapter that, as I've already said, that during the life of Josiah, that Judah and really other surrounding areas, because his effect was far-reaching, but the people that lived in the days of Josiah benefited greatly by living their lives in the time that he did. There were things that were going to happen. I mean, bad things that were going to come upon them that had those that lived and died during the reign of Josiah didn't have to see because of God's reward upon the righteousness of Josiah. You see, Israel, they had sinned. They had sinned to the point with their idolatry that God said, wrath is going to come upon them. God was not going to overlook it. He was going to bring his wrath and he was going to bring judgment upon them for what they had been doing for many, many years. But he said, I'm not going to bring it in the days of Josiah. Josiah had the promise that he would be resting from his labors and that he would not see the terror that the Lord was going to bring upon them. But what I was getting ready to say was that Josiah, in order to do what was right, there was something that he had to do. He had to tear down that which his father, his own father, had built. If you go back and you read the chapter prior to this and you read about Josiah's father Ammon, he was the one that had come in and had built these high places and had done all of these things. And you know, honestly, Josiah did not have a very good example set by his father, but yet he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And when I read these things and when I read about, in contrast to that, Josiah did not have a good example, but yet he did what was right, and you go back and you read about the sons of Samuel that did have such a great example set before them by their father, and yet they did evil things. And when I read things like that and situations like that in the Bible, it just causes me to realize that it is an individual thing between every person and God. I believe that certainly children that have a good example for them have a great advantage, but yet they still have to choose whether they're going to do right or do wrong. And even though Josiah had a poor example set for him by his father, yet it was his choice to do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he was doing that at the young, tender age of 8 years old. He was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. By the time he was in about the 16th year of his life, and you'll read and notice that in reading this chapter, but by the time he was in about the 16th year of his life, he was making some big decisions as a king, you know, that had a great effect upon the children of Judah. But he had to go against, you know, what even his father had done. And I'm going to tell you something here. I want to go ahead and put this in right here. There's something that I believe about the Lord's church. And I believe that we, every generation that comes through the church, you know, I mean, the people in the days of Jesus when he organized the church, and there in Jerusalem and other churches begin to be organized, you know, the same people that were in those churches, they're not with us today. They've been gone for years and years and years. But I'll tell you what, every generation that passes through the Lord's church, that generation has the responsibility for themselves to study the scriptures and know what is right. We must know for ourselves what's right. And if there are things that were done because there hasn't been, you know, there hasn't been a perfect generation yet, and if there were things that were being done in the past that are not right, then we have to take the responsibility to do what is. And that's exactly what Josiah did. His father had not done right. His father, in fact, if you go read what it says about Ammon, it says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did just the opposite of what Josiah did. Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. His father Ammon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And you can go back through Josiah's ancestry, and they were very up and down. He was an ancestor of Hezekiah. And, you know, unfortunately, when you read the scriptures, unfortunately, when you read about the kings, it seems like that when they take over the kingdom, it seems like that you read more about those that the Bible says did evil in the sight of the Lord than you do those that did right in the sight of the Lord. But Josiah was a great king. He was a great king. He lived his life the way that God would have him to live his life, and he not only did he benefit himself by that, but as I said, those who lived around him benefited as by that as well. You know what Josiah did with the money that was taken from the house of the Lord to give it to the men to repair it? Why did he do it? It was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. I wish today that we had leaders like Josiah. You know what the Bible tells me? In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, we have seen that in our nation. If you haven't seen in our nation in the past few years, if you haven't seen what is spoken about there in Proverbs 29 and 2 being fulfilled right before your eyes, then you need to open your eyes and take a look at what's going on. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Our country has seen times like that. Our country has seen times when that was being fulfilled. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Isn't that going on among us today? Yes, Solomon was exactly right. You know what our, I'm gonna hold up on that. I'll get into that here in just a moment. You know, if we look at the time when Israel, when they were in captivity during the Babylonian captivity, if you study the book of Daniel, and you see, you read about the life of Daniel, and I mean, as soon as they were taken captive, that they wanted to, you know, the king of Babylon, he wanted to use certain men like Daniel. He wanted them, but because of their skill and because of their wisdom that he saw in them, he wanted to use them, you know, in his kingdom, and he wanted to provide for them, and he wanted to take care of them. But you read about the book of Daniel there in the first chapter of Daniel, and you read about him, and when the king sent his servant to offer them the daily provision of the meat and the things for the kingdom, you know what Daniel said, the Bible says about Daniel, it says he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. I'll tell you what, Christian friends, we need to resolve in our hearts to keep ourselves unspotted from the defilements of this world. That's what we need to do. Daniel didn't, you know, Daniel wasn't just, it wasn't just something that was a casual thought in his mind or something like that. He purposed deep down within, he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. And you read about the time that they were in that captivity. You read about men like Daniel, and you read about men like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and you read about men like the prophet Hezekiah, and you go and you study their lives, and I certainly don't have time here in a sermon to speak about all that, but I would encourage you to go and you study their lives, and I believe you'll reach the same conclusion that I did. Israel was greatly blessed and benefited by having people like Daniel among them that were willing to do the right thing. They were blessed by having a prophet like Ezekiel that was willing to do whatever God told him to do. You know, you go read some of the things that God told Ezekiel to do, and they were just downright weird. I mean, some strange things that he asked of him, but Ezekiel obeyed him, and he did exactly what the Lord told him to do, and those people were benefited by having men like that among them. At this time, I believe that the temple, the house of the Lord, had been laying desecrated and broken down for somewhere around 40 years. And when they begin to rebuild the temple, when they begin to repair the temple, rather, you know, they gave the money from the house of the Lord to these workmen, and they begin to repair the house of the Lord and to put it back in order. There was a great discovery that was made. Within there, they found the book of the law, and this man that found it he came and declared that he had found the book of the law. Now, that wasn't the first time. I mean, they had found the writings of Moses, and it wasn't the first time that those things had been in the hands of the people of God, but they hadn't been there for a while. And when they found that, and Josiah began to read that, and he began to read the things had been told there in the book of the law, when he began to read about the way that God had said he was going to judge this nation of people for what they had done, it stirred him up to the point that he went and he had that read before all of the people. I'll tell you what, I wish the leaders of our country today would rediscover the scriptures, don't you? I wish that they would turn to the book of the Lord, that they would read the Word of God, and they would say that somebody would be wise enough and bold enough to rise up and say, look, people, we have strayed from the things of God. These things that we are doing in our nation, the killing of little babies, and same-sex marriage, and all of these things that we are allowing and even trying to legalize, God has said in His Word that He'll bring wrath upon people that do this, and we better quit. Well, that's what happened with Josiah. If you read the 9th chapter of Daniel, that's what happened to Daniel when he was in Babylon. He gained access to the writings of Jeremiah, and when he began to study the writings of Jeremiah, he began to realize why that they were really in Babylon. He began to realize that they were there because of their sin. He began to realize from the writings of Jeremiah that they were captive in Babylon because they had not obeyed the Sabbaths of the land, and that they were going to have to face the judgment of God, and they were going to have to face the time that God had said that they would have to be there until the land had enjoyed the rest of her Sabbaths. And when Daniel realized from those writings how that they had sinned against God, it just tore him up. It stirred him up, and he got down on his knees before God, and he began to repent for the whole nation. Read it, Daniel chapter 9. Read that prayer that Daniel prayed. He began to ask God to forgive them as a nation of people for what they had done, how that they had strayed against the Lord. You know what, folks, I think we all know that this is true, and we've all witnessed this. You know what happens in our country? When we're getting ready to elect a leader, you know what people are looking for? They're looking for that which will line their pockets. They want somebody, this country wants somebody that will restore a good, vibrant, sound economy. That's what people are after. They're looking for somebody that'll put money in their pockets. They're looking for somebody that will build the nation up financially, and people just think that that's the most important thing in the world. Well, let me give you a great example of that. That's exactly what Solomon did when he was a king. I mean, Solomon built up the nation of Israel. He was a master at interacting with the other countries, and he built that nation of Israel up. And during the time that he was a king, he built a great economy. I mean, Solomon, you've heard me talk about, and others talk about, how that the Queen of Sheba, when she came and saw all that Solomon had done and all the things that he had accomplished, she just couldn't believe her eyes. She said, I had heard about these things, but when I came and saw it, I realized that the half had not yet even been told to me. And Solomon built that kingdom up and into a great economy. But you go read 1 Kings chapter 11, and you'll find out that he damaged that nation. You know why? Because he didn't build them up morally. He took unto him strange women, and he tried to fellowship with people that he didn't need to fellowship with. He would marry their daughters, and you know what happened? He brought idolatry. He brought idolatry into the land. Folks, I'll tell you what, it's not leaders that'll build us up financially. We need men of moral value. Moral value. We need Josiahs. You know what? If Josiah was here today, I'd try to get him to run for president. That's exactly the kind of man that we need. We need somebody that, as I said, that will look at the Word of God and say, we have strayed from God. We have wronged the Lord. We're not living right. We're not doing right. Our children are suffering because of it, friends. I want you to know that our children are living in a corrupt nation today because, we just haven't, as a country, we haven't taken a stand for what is right, and it has slipped further and further and further away from us, and we better get a hold on it. We need a Josiah today. We need a Hezekiah today. We need somebody that is willing. You know what the children of Israel did? With the brazen serpent. Remember reading in Numbers 21 about the brazen serpent? That God had sent judgment upon the nation, and he had sent the serpents in there, and they were biting the children of Israel, and they were dying. And Moses went to God, and God gave him a remedy, said, I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to set it upon a pole. And when somebody gets bitten, they look to that, and they live. Well, several years later in the days of Hezekiah, they still had that brazen serpent among them, and they were worshiping that brazen serpent. Bible says they were burning incense unto it. They were worshiping that brazen serpent as a god. And Hezekiah rose up. He boldly stood up, and he took that brazen serpent and he threw it down and he broke it into pieces and he called it Nehushtan. And that meant, Nehushtan meant, it's just a piece of brass. I'll tell you what, folks, when people get to worshiping things other than God, you can look for trouble. You can look for trouble to come upon any household, upon any nation, upon a world. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now, when you go on, and I want to get this in before I close. When you go on into the next chapter and you read about Josiah, you see what Josiah was doing, and this is really important. What Josiah was doing was he was not just seeking reform. He was not just looking to, find a way to make things better. He was not just looking to get rid of some of the things that they had been doing and not do them anymore, but he was determined when he found the book of the law and he read from the book of the law, he was determined that that nation was going to return to doing things the way that they had done them in the past. What Josiah was looking for, the reform that he was looking for and that he was working towards, was that they would return to the old paths. If you go on and you read in the next chapter, he began again to keep the Passover, and guess how he did it? He did it just exactly the way it was written about there in the writings of Moses. He did it just the way it was written about there in the book of the law. They killed that sacrifice on the 14th day of the month. He returned to the Word of God. I'll tell you what, church, we can have a lot of ideas that may sound good to us, but you know what? We better make sure that they fit the mold. We better make sure that we're doing things according to the Word of the Lord. I'm sure that brazen serpent had a lot of sentimental value in Israel. I'm sure that many of them could look back to that and say, well, you know, that was that thing that we had that was made in the days of Moses, and our forefathers, they put that thing up on a pole and they looked at that and lived, and I'm sure there was a lot of sentimental value attached to it. But you know what God said? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Period. Doesn't make any difference how much sense it may make to somebody else or how much sentimental value something may have. If it's wrong in the eyes of the Lord, it's just wrong. It's wrong. And we need Josiah's, and we need Daniel's, and Ezekiel's. And I'll tell you what, people are benefited. People are greatly benefited. You know what? I'm afraid, truly, that there's not very many people in the world that really want to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. We may look at it, and we may say, well, you know, yeah, I know that's Bible, I know that's Scripture, but you know, if we do that, somebody's going to really be upset about it. You know, it's going to hurt this person's feelings or that person's feelings. If we do that, we hadn't done it that way before. You know, why start now? I'll tell you what, folks, if we discover that we're doing something that's not right, we ought to make it right. We ought to make it right. Doesn't matter, make any difference. You know, there was a lot of people that had an allegiance to Solomon. They sure did. You know, they looked at Solomon as being a great king, but Solomon did evil. You go read the Bible, and that's exactly what it says about him. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they didn't need to hang on to something just because Solomon had done it. If it's not right, it's not right. We ought to, you know, the things that we do, we ought to have a scriptural reason for why we do them. God gave us the rule book, didn't he? He gave us the rule book, and we ought to do the best that we can to follow his rules. And to do that, to do what's right without fear and without favor of any man. That's what Josiah did. Josiah stood up for what was right. And I thank God for people that I have known in my life that I believe were like him. If God said it, if God said do it, do it. If God said don't do it, don't do it. Let's follow the Lord. Let's follow him. Because he's the one that we're serving. He's the one that we ultimately will answer to. I appreciate your attention today. You know what? To you that are lost, the Lord said you must be born again, and he won't accept anything other than that. It's still just as true today as it was the day that Jesus spoke those words to Nicodemus. You must be born again. I don't care how many people have come along and they've said, nah, that old, you know, those old-fashioned Baptists, that's not necessary. All that weeping and mourning and seeking the Lord time after time until you know you've been saved, that's not necessary. We've come up with a better way. We're like Ford. We got a better idea. All you've got to do is just go up there and just make a decision to accept the Lord and just believe His finished work on Calvary, and then we'll declare you saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? That's not what God told us. I'm glad today that we're hanging on to that, because people are benefited eternally because of it. If we'll do what's right, if we will do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, we will be a blessed people indeed. But when we turn away from it, God will bring judgment. He'll bring judgment upon everybody that disobeys His word. So I would to God that as a country, as a nation, that we would rediscover the word of the Lord. That we would have leaders that would get excited the way that Josiah did when they read God's word and said, you know what? This is not what we've been doing. It's not what we've been doing, and God is going to punish us because of it. I'll tell you what, you all are, you know, you're welcome to think what you want to think. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe there's a reason. I believe there's a great spiritual reason why that every time we turn around in our country, there's floods and there's earthquakes and there's tornadoes everywhere and cities are being torn up. I believe God is angry. I believe He's angry with our country. That's what I believe. You can take it the way you want to. I mean, a lot of people are just going to write it off and say, oh, that's just nature. Well, who's in charge of nature? Every time you turn around, there's disaster after disaster after disaster. If God is not the God of a nation, you can't expect that nation to be blessed. But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We need to pray, don't we? We need to pray, and we need to do that we know is right in the eyes of the Lord. I appreciate your attention. Those are the thoughts that the Lord gave to me to share with you here today.